Latter-day Saint Home Educators is pleased to bring you this audio presentation, recorded live during the 2017 Home Education Conference, held in Williamsburg, Virginia.
My name is Kimberly Blackwell, and we currently are living in America. So we're traveling the U.S. this year as a family. All our stuff is in Virginia in a two storage units. So we have, we're traveling all around, seeing all the places. My husband travels for work, so it's worked out really good. He just needs an airport. So we're sort of gypsies, and our home is in the parking lot in a trailer. But we've been having a really good time and lots of fun. And there's a little bit about our year that's what she was talking about. So I'm going to start off with this wonderful quote by Maria Augusta Trapp. Music acts like a magic key to which the most tightly closed hearts open. I think that's beautiful. First of all, have any of you ever read this book? Isn't it beautiful? Oh, it's one of my favorite. Such a good book. It's the book of that Maria von Trapp from Sound of Music. Her true story is in here, and I was very amazed how accurate a lot of the movie was and how more enhanced, obviously, the book always is in her life. And this is wonderful, and I've been grateful for her example throughout my life. And I wanted to start also by saying I'm not a musical expert, but I am an expert at being very consistent with things that I believe in. So I don't have a long music degree. Not only that, in college I tried out for a show choir and didn't make it. You know, I'm not a music expert in any way. I just love music, and I am one of the biggest cheerleaders of other people who are so accomplished. And I think being consistent is one of the most important things. When I was feeling very overwhelmed with all the different things that homeschooling comes, with all the ideas that everybody gives you, and I was trying to figure out which are the best things for my family. I can't remember how old all my girls were, but I remember at one point thinking, I need to ask Heavenly Father what my top three need to be. Because if I had top three things to focus on, then I feel like everything else might, at least I could do three. And I said a prayer and contemplated it for a long time, and once while I was praying, I received an answer, and my three were music time as a family, reading a classic story as a family with my girls, and then number three was reading a classic book with each girl individually. And not that those are everybody's type three at all, but for me, when I stick with those, for some reason, everything else falls in place. And maybe the Lord knew that that was what I needed to ground myself and my girls. So number one was music time. And I want you to think back to your childhood and your family life and how music affected you. My parents were lovers of music, but my mom always said she felt very inadequate because she didn't know how to play an instrument or anything, so she got us all in piano. And by force, we all, in one of those situations. But I, almost every Mother's Day, one of my main things I say thank you to my mom is thank you for those piano lessons. I'm so grateful. I know it was a financial stretch for my parents, big time. And one time I asked my dad when I was about 16 or 15 when I started caring about things, why don't you get a new car, Dad? Seriously, this is scary to drive in, and I'm nervous all the time to drive in this place. Plus, it looks really bad. And he said, I'd rather you have your piano lessons than have a nice car. And it's always stuck with me. I didn't realize that that could have been the sacrifice my parents were making. You know, when your mind doesn't think of how money adds up, but five kids with piano lessons probably adds up. When I was little also, my mom, we would lay in bed, and before we went to sleep, everyone got to pick their favorite song. And usually it was primary songs or nursery rhymes. She was a school teacher. So we got a lot of nursery rhymes and things like that. But that pick a song, that tradition of going around and picking a song, has stuck with me my entire life. And I think it's a timeless treasure to do as a family. So I want you to think about, how has music affected your childhood? And there's a song that my dad played on the piano, not because he knew how to play the piano, because he would just figure, I think he figured it out in his teenage years. And still to this day, if I ever hear that classic song, and he's been passed for 7 years now, just that little bit of that beginning of that song just, of course, goes straight to your heart, and the relationship between the song and the person and the feeling that you had when you heard that song, it's so deep within you, and it's there forever. And I'm grateful for those moments that I had as a child. I'm grateful for how music played a special role in my little childhood and led me on to my family while my kids started growing. And when they were really little, somebody next door to us said, "I have a piano, do you want one?" And they were very tiny at the time, and I said, "Sure," and they rolled it over down the street and up into my house, and I mean, it was quite the piece, you know. But I thought, oh, this is going to be a great time for me to teach my girls how to sing harmony. And I think she was probably, Michaela was probably 3 or 4, and she was almost 2, and I had big dreams, you know. So I tried to play this, you know, this piano, and tried to have them, tried to teach them the parts, and for weeks I was really hopeful to start teaching them harmony at 4 and 2. I don't know what I was thinking. And I got really discouraged, and I remember them fighting of who gets to sit on your lap, you know, all those things, and I'm done, and someone hit their head on the, you know, just one of those. And I thought, I don't know if this is ever going to work, and sort of feeling a little discouraged. And it was about probably 2 years ago, there was a moment where we were doing our music time, and now they're older, and they all sing their parts, and they all have their place in our family little choir. And my mind went right back to that beginning time of being on the piano, and it was this feeling of, it worked. It really worked. Being consistent over a long period of time. So I want to now go on to, this is my first time doing something like this too, so new things today. really quickly, this is my husband Thomas, and Michaela, my oldest, is 16, just barely, and Charity is 14, and Liberty, turn around and give them a smile, and Liberty is almost 8, just so you know a little bit of what music time at our house looks like. This is who I have. So I don't have boys, so I don't know. I don't have a lot of advice for you. I do have a big boy, and he comes in and plays the boy parts in our choir, and we love it and are so appreciative for that balance. So I do know you're not supposed to only have a girl choir, but we're a little over, you know, out of balance in our house. Okay. So the first part is, so I'm going to go really quite down this pretty easy. And the first section is music. I'm going to start at the very beginning. Start at the very beginning. And it's going to be, "A child who sings is a happy child," is the quote by Elder Fabelia. And he gave this quote in conference two sessions ago, I think. And isn't that true? When you hear a child humming a song or whistling or something, you just know that's a happy child. You know that everything is right in their world at that moment. And when I was, I have been primary chorister in many awards, many, many awards, and I have seen a change in children's voices over the years, from the time when I was 19, 20 to recently when I was, there is a change, and I believe it is because simple tunes are being taken away, and these more in-depth songs that are heard on the radio are what they're listening to. In-depth, not meaning classically in-depth. I'm meaning a lot of different electronic instruments are going on. And so to hear the actual melody is hard. And so I don't know if any of you have noticed this over the years, but voices of children many times have a lot of fluctuating notes going on, and a little bit of a twang. Can you think of the New Age artist? They have that nasal in the back of their throat, you know. And I believe it's because they're trying to, you know, replicate what they're hearing. And I think what eliminates that, this is my own philosophy, is simple tunes like nursery rhymes. When children hear those basic tunes that have been long standing for years and years, they can hear the tune and it's easy for them to hum. And so especially when children are young, they need to hear those simple tunes, folk tunes, primary tunes, old gospel tunes. Nursery rhymes, I think, are the best way to go. There's a lot of nursery rhyme songbooks out there that you can get from the library. You can order the CDs. And there's a new age of happy nursery rhymes that have been coming out. And I have here Becky Bailey, The I Love You Ritual. Has any of you read that book before? She is a public school educator, actually, and she has done a wonderful job in teaching conscious discipline. And she has a book, and it talks about how to use nursery rhyme songs to connect with your child when they're young so that they can feel that at this time is when I do this song, so which it takes them out of their brain stem and it helps them to be centered because they know that song relates with that, and then they're able to focus more. It's very beautiful. And in her book, she also talks about, and I just put this one idea in here, a good morning song and a good night song. And she has plenty of ideas, but I'm just doing this one because I still do this one, and my girls are old. And I'm still singing, this little finger on the hand goes cluck, cluck like a baby hen, the next little finger on the hand. And I've changed the tune, but it's the connection that we have in the night and in the morning. It's always been, good morning, it's great to see the sun again. You know, just to have these songs that they can hear you singing, that they know all is right in the world because mom's singing that same tune, you know. And I encourage any of you with young children to get her I Love You Ritual book. It's beautifully done, and it helps place a lot of good meaning on why it's important to use simple tunes and songs. And she takes all the nursery rhymes that have sort of a disastrous ending and helps make it a little bit more uplifting. So I have appreciated that. Humpty Dumpty has a better fate in her song, I can't remember, but it just seems a little bit more uplifting and joyous. All right, the next part. So I just want you all to know that I have been very grateful that I have basic and limited knowledge of music at the beginning of when I was teaching these girls, and I am grateful for those hymn books and those primary books that seem very basic, but that's what I believe the children need. They need the basic tune. Like, turn off that radio. I don't know how and when I made that decision. I don't know, probably when Michaela was around one or two. I don't want my girls sounding like this. And turned it off. And when you hear it over and over, we start to imitate it. So simple tunes for the young ones and for the old ones too, but especially for the young ones. Okay, number two, music time, singing time. If you cannot teach me to fly, teach me to sing. J.M. Barrie, the writer of Peter Pan, quoted that. And music time, I said music time, I called this class music time, but actually in our house we call music time singing time. So I might say that often throughout here, but singing time is what we call it. And I want you to go down on your page and it says, start short so they are always asking for more. So singing time can get a little drawn out and a little boring for the younger ones, you know. So you want to always pay attention to that. when everything's going really good and you're having a good little singing time as a family, that's a good time to stop. Instead of, I'm doing so good, let's pick another song to do. And then it gets bad, and then to try to bring us back the next day, it's not good. So stop when everybody's at their peak, because the next day they're excited. I've done one too many of the other, and it's not good. So during singing time, what we do in our family is, I'm going to give you a little bit of now, then, and now. When my girls were little, it was them dancing around and me playing music on the piano and them singing. If you don't know how to play the piano, then YouTube is wonderful, because you can get any karaoke song and play it. All the resources through the church, where you can just push a button and play and sing. So there's no excuse if you don't have a piano or if you don't know how to play an instrument. So when they were young, it was focused on holiday songs, the primary songs that they're learning in primary for that month, so that at the end of the year, you're not worried, are they going to know what they're supposed to sing in that primary production? You know, space those out every month and teach them those songs. Hymns, of course, and I always have puzzles or little activities on the table that are always out, so that while we're getting a little bit more in depth with my older girls, my younger one can have little activities to do. So you can sing with us, and you can sit here and be happy and joyful. Or you can go over there and do your colors and be happy and joyful, you know, so that they don't have to sit and be there with the older ones. So that's a little bit more of how singing time was when they were younger. Now we are not just doing holiday songs and other songs. Now we're doing a lot more of the parts and, you know, a lot more of the nitty-gritty stuff, the harmony, and it's so much fun. But it has taken us a long time to get there. Many years ago when I was, I don't know how old you two were. We were living in North Carolina at the time, so probably 6 and 8, 10 and 8. Oh, yeah, that's right. And I was saying a prayer and asking Heavenly Father, I really need a good book to teach my girls how to sing harmony, because that's what I need. And so I kept praying and praying and never got my answer, and I'd look online. And one day when I was reaching down to get something, I was on the piano bench, and I was reaching down to get something out of the mess of piano stuff on the floor. I was reaching down, and the Spirit said to me, teach harmony through the hymns. And it was so clear and so direct, I've never questioned it again. And I decided to stop my search of doing anything but teaching the hymns, to teach them how to sing harmony. So we brought out the hymn book, and we have gone through that hymn book and taught. Oh, it's a masterpiece. It's a masterpiece to teach those. It's so easy. Why didn't I think of that before? And not only that, having those hymns repeating in your mind and over. So I started that when they were about that age, and still to this day, we always start our singing time with a hymn that we are working on until we get that hymn really good. Then we move on to another one, then we move on to another one. And it is, I think, because those are simple tunes. Also, they're very easy to sing and easy to play. Yes?
So do you just teach all of them the alto part, and then all of them the, I mean, of course, mm-hmm. I have boys too.
Yes.
Well, do you memorize the words too?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do our best. That's when it's complete. But at the beginning, it sort of has evolved. At the beginning, I taught, I think I probably taught them both the alto to sort of learn that. Then Michaela just seemed, that seemed to fit her. And then Charity, as magical as I think music is, learned how to sing this part on top of soprano all on her own. And she has just gone far with it. And so now we don't even teach her. She just sings her own part on harmony on top. I believe it's because we've stuck with these simple hymns that she can hear the tenor part up high, and she has just gone with it. So I really think you could see how it feels in your family. See who better fits which area. And now we just focus on teaching so that we all have a part in that song instead of let's all learn this and I'll learn that. Does that make sense? Okay, so let's go on to this next part. So I wanted to, I think down here a little bit more, I talk exactly about how singing time actually works in our family. But let's go on to number 3, learning other instruments. I will go back to more about singing time and that how that looks in a little bit. But this part is learning other instruments. So music gives a soul to the universe, wings to the mind, flight to the imagination, and life to everything. By Plato. And I love this. I love in many times in singing time at our house, we talk about how the music of this song made us feel, or how and what was, were we trying to, what was the artist trying to portray, and how did we feel their feelings and connect with that person? And I love that this quote sort of wraps that up too. That's what music does. Now, going down in that learning other instruments is have musical instruments available. Have them out, and we're all homeschooling families, so I'm pretty for sure you are already all do this. None of our homes probably put everything away and hide it. I just don't think that's available in the homeschooling world. Growing up, my family, everything, you know, we had to have things put away and put away. But sometimes we'd forget about it if it was put away. So definitely have them. I was always, Kim, why is your music stuff all over the place? Well, I'm working on it. You know, if you close it up, sometimes it's hard to remember how much you're loving what you're working on. So it is definitely a messy place. And I try to keep my house clean, right? But that piano music area, I don't know. It's just creating in the process. So you have to have these, you have to be okay with it being beautifully creative, you know.
I know a musical family who she has wall mounts for all of her, like, cello.
Oh, yes, we have some of those.
Mm-hmm. So pure decoration.
Yes.
And off the floor.
That is true. We have those wall mounts.
I just wanted to comment. We have everything from a not everything, but we have a didgeridoo and bongos and cello. We have all different variety and piano, and we're just hoping that one child's going to pick something that they like. We don't have drums yet. We're hoping that, anyways, the bongos, I guess, are close to that. So, but it's just fun. So my husband really, he loves music. Mm-hmm. And I do too, but he can just play whatever. And it's really good. So we're trying to provide all these crazy instruments or whatever they seem an interest in, and just hoping that they'll take off with it.
Yes.
So I think just providing it mm-hmm. in some way is good.
Yes. Very good. And I think in down here, I was going to say this, but I'm going to say it now because you made me think of it. Having those instruments is key, but then more than almost even having the instruments is eliminating all the other distractions, you know? That is huge. We've always had our piano out, but when we moved a few years ago to a new place, we've never been huge TV watchers. We never have, actually. It's mainly movies as a family, but we decided we're not taking that with us anymore. And we're getting rid of Pandora, and we are not listening to popular music anymore. We are going to make a clean slate. And let me tell you, the creativity that started coming out of my girls because there were no distractions going around, I mean, it brings tears to my eyes because I know that Heavenly Father blessed them because of that choice that us as parents made for them. If they are not distracted with other activities and toys and other things, for some reason, that piano or those bongo drums call to them a little bit more because they're not distracted with the other things that are calling for them. And eliminating other people's music, you know? Eliminate the constant flow of so many good songs that come, you know, come so easily through your phone, come through so easily in all these areas. Well, what about the music that's supposed to come out from within you? You know, if we're constantly being fed too much this way, there's no more room for this, you know? So I'm grateful you brought that up. And I did not see how clear the Lord wanted me to learn that until just these last few years. So much had to be eliminated to be able to receive the inspiration. Okay, so let me finish this little part. This part is another key number, the next part in this learning other instruments is if you do have an instrument or something that some type of musical interest that you have, they need to see you practice. I'm not talking long amount of times, but like I said, one of my dearest memories with music was my dad playing, I mean, I could probably maybe 10 times in his life. I don't know. There was hardly very many times that I saw him playing on the piano. But that song that he would play, one song, oh, so dear. And not only that, it's like encouraging for me to have even a tiny bit of that for my own girls, you know? So practicing your own instruments, whether it was trumpet or flute that you used to play or, and you know, a few years ago, the recorder was a class that they offered here at the homeschooling conference. Whether it's a new instrument or you start learning your own new idea, for them to see you even do 5 minutes once a week, they'll think, that's important to mom. That's important to her. There must be something to that. And for whatever reason, they want to join in, you know, or be there or be a part of it. And I think it will be a way to those more reluctant, if you start practicing your own, it will be maybe the tool that you've been hoping for. What another part with other instruments, I know everybody probably doesn't agree with this. This is sort of what we do. We do cheaper instruments when they're younger. And then when they're 14, the instrument that they just absolutely love, then that's when they received their own instrument. So we had really cheapy little guitars when they were little, and then like when Michaela turned 14, that's what she got, her new guitar. And Charity started learning the dulcimer a little bit ago, and when she was 14 received her own. But she's gone through a few other instruments, the cheaper kind, to get to that, you know. So that might not be, I know a lot of people that really feel like a really good instrument at a young age will be good for their ear. One thing I do agree with, though, is I put my girls, when they were very tiny, in Yamaha, and that was very good for many reasons and very stressful for a lot of other reasons. The Yamaha music program, it's for some really dedicated parents, but I am dedicated in other ways, so I couldn't do it. But one thing I did learn from them is they really emphasized a keyboard over a real piano, unless you were going to tune that piano often, because that pitch needs to be very pure so that they can hear that pitch and not be messed up, you know, by the off tune. And so we did, that's what we did. We bought an electric piano so that their pitch could always be very pure. And I'm thinking it's time for us to buy a real piano now. I think I might, we've been doing everything off electric because I wanted their pitch to be real pure. So I do agree with that. Okay, next part. If you have children that are having a hard time practicing their instruments, it maybe could be less formal. So that's why I said sit beside them. There's been many times where I've thought, you know, piano can be a little daunting sometimes to some of your children. What a difference it makes when you're sitting with them, though, on the bench or right next to them. And that connection. If they have an instrument, let them be practicing on the couch with you sitting next to them. Make your porch or a place outside be okay to have instruments. You know, make a place where your family can gather. We have porch picking. We saw that on a porch once, porch picking. I thought, oh, that's cute. You know, have a place where you can be with instruments, with your voices, and your family knows that this is where we, not knows, because you don't want to make it formal. That ruins the magicalness of it, you know. But they need to know that music can be transferable to lots of different places and areas. So I say bed lessons because there's been many a sitting on the beds playing guitars, you know. It just too formal can almost be a little discouraging. Instruments need to feel like a good friend, a relationship. And also then I have here, when we moved and we had different changes with our financial life and things, so I started thinking, okay, I do know how to play the piano. Why am I paying for a piano teacher? I could cut back on this. I could teach my own kids. But I didn't, I wanted to do it how I always would have liked to learn. And it has been wonderful. I didn't get this from anybody. This is like my own weirdness. And I will share it with you. But I found classic songs made easy. And I have them written down here, the different ones that you can find. And we would take and go measure and get that measure really good. Then two measures, then three measures. You know how most piano teachers learn the right hand, learn the left hand. And we went measure by measure until they accomplished that. And these were songs that they had to pick out of the books that I provided. So they got a choice in it. They got to pick it. And we're still doing that to this day. They pick their songs and they work tiny by tiny. And it was only last year that we got them a piano teacher again, and it's through Skype. So if any of you want to know of that, I can tell you afterwards what his name is. And it's been wonderful, and I didn't realize how much they were learning by just picking apart those good classic songs bit by bit and going through it. Now, if you do not know how to play piano and you have a child that's interested in playing piano, John Smith, with the Piano Guys, wrote a fantastic book, The 76 Fun Songs Primer. That has been wonderful. It's for the parent. It's one of those, like a homeschooling book. Say this, and then they do this on the piano. Say this, and do this on the piano. It's fantastic. And then you go from there, and then you go to this 76 Fun Songs. And he's picked wonderful songs to use. A lot of classics, it's wonderful. So those are two that I recommend. So my girls always have a fun song they're learning and always a hymn that they're learning. And that's pretty easy. You know, two songs, you can do that, right? You know? Okay, and then down here, the Dover Publications. These are all classic books made easy, classic songs made easy. Now, for guitar, if you have a child who's wanting to learn guitar, there's videos. This Marcy Markers. Okay, she has guitar 1 and 2 videos. Those are great. Another odd instrument our family had was the accordion. And not odd, just different. And same thing, I had a daughter, Charity, who really wanted to learn accordion. Really wanted to learn accordion. And so, I don't know how to play accordion, and she was young. Wasn't gonna go and pay someone a ton of money to teach accordion. I could figure this out, you know. So we got the little kid accordion for one of her birthdays, and looked up things online, you know, and we figured it out. And to her, she played the accordion. I mean, master at that accordion. Rest home, she's played accordion, you know. And yes, now she's not into it as much anymore, but they can be musicians with each of these instruments if they're these small, simple tunes. She knew a lot of hymns on that accordion. You know, she knew a lot of nursery rhymes, folk tunes. And these same books, these Dover Publications, we would just figure out how to do them on our accordion. I've used the same books over and over. Okay, and then the ukulele, if any of your children want to learn the ukulele, this website here, I think she has 6 or 7 videos for free that you can watch, and it teaches many chords. And then once you know those chords, you're off. You can go anywhere. You can go to the primary book and figure out which chords go with these songs, you know, or which hymns goes with these chords in this hymn. And so you just need to, other instruments, like ukulele and accordion and guitar anyways, you just need those beginnings of the chords, and then you can go off. If any of your kids have desire, this is more teenage, I believe, for mastering their voices. As you can see, I like to do everything at home. I don't go too many places. So I have found, my husband found these singing lessons that you can do online. And they have been wonderful. And so you can sign up for this Superior Singing Method. And they lesson, we haven't even got through them, and we've been doing them over a year and a half. And you just keep going, and they teach you all the warm-ups, all the vocal performance techniques you need, and strengthening your voice. And so this is something your child could do on their own, at home, and really enhance their voice. And then if it's where you feel like you need to put them in a different place, like a teacher or a choir, then you can. I just feel like so much can be done at home that takes us away from running around, you know, all these other places. Okay, now we're moving on to performances. God sent his singers upon the earth with songs of sadness and of mirth, that they may touch the hearts of men and bring them back to heaven again. By Longfellow. I love that beautiful verse. Performance does that. It can touch the hearts of whoever's listening. And children need to learn how to perform. You know, many children stand and don't know what to do with their hands. That you have to teach them. You have to teach them how to hold their hands, how to stand with their heads up, how to look at people in the audience. You know, sometimes we think, focus on getting the words right if you're teaching them a song to sing or to play, but how do they perform it? How do they stand and show that they're confident in it? You know, that's crucial in the performance. So we do a lot of that. We do a lot of, when they were little, a lot of practicing, standing up and showing me how to do it, and I watch them, and okay, do it again, because, you know, you're itching your nose and scratching everywhere, you know, you got to keep your hands down. And not that we've got it down, but it is something that needs to be addressed. In my girls and also in primary, often I always say, look how the Tabernacle Choir sings. No itchy, you know, no nothing like that going on. You know, show them good performers, quality performance, and they can see. A pianist, when they're going up to, you know, perform their song, they usually have their hand on the piano, and they say what they're saying, and they do a bow afterwards. You know, with some performance etiquette is wonderful. It has to be taught just right along with the words of the song, or the notes of the song. There we go. Okay, at our house, everybody receives performances, because I feel like my girls need lots of practice all the time. So we've had a lot of visiting teachers get performances with the accordion. You know, we've had a lot of home teachers. Actually, most of all, our home teachers have many songs, and that's part of, they come over, they know Blackwells are going to give us a show because the girls need practice, you know. And missionaries, countless of missionaries, they're the greatest because they just think everything is fantastic, you know, because they're longing for that feeling of family and things. So missionaries always get a show. When you invite families over, we always invite, you can bring your instruments too. You know, let's have a jam session together. We will give you one then, you know. But there's a lot of that going on because like the other one before, one of my quotes, oh wait, is it this one? It touched the heart of men. And like the other one, the very beginning quote, music acts like a magic key to which the most tightly closed heart opens. That's why when you invite people to your home and you give them a piece of music, it's like giving them a piece of your own heart, and then they're left with something, you know, not just a visit, they're left with like something deeper. So performance, think of how you can perform for the people that are closest to you, and new friends as well. Oh, this is a fantastic idea that my parents did when we were kids. And I don't know if they ever realized the magic that they did with this, because like I said, they were both not very musical at all. Family night, one of the little places on the board, you know, how there's scripture, prayer, one of them was talent. And so every Monday night, or Sunday night in our house when I was little, talent was one of them. And so we still do that to this day. And one child is in charge, or parents are in charge of performing a talent. So it can be a musical talent. We've had lots of comedy acts in our house too. It can be the poster that they've drawn, or their, you know, whatever it is, their poems that they have learned, but talent is such a good one to add into your family night. A dance that they've done, yes?
I was just going to add that we started a tradition that the first Monday of every month is our talent night.
Oh, so that's a great idea.
The whole family home evening, whatever they're working on, whether it's photography, uh-huh. pictures, cooking, baking, instrument, whatever.
That's their display time. That is wonderful.
It's been fun.
That is great. I love that. So yes, implement talent into your family night. Okay. And of course, church musical numbers. When I was a child, I think I thought that someone magical in the ward asked people to do the musical numbers. Now I learn most of the time it's the parents that go to the, can my kids play? Or can we do a musical number? You know, sometimes we get the ask, a lot of times. But if your kids aren't getting asked or your family's not getting asked, you need to let them know that you need to be asked. Or just tell them we have something to do. Every music coordinator in the ward is excited when somebody comes up to them and say, I have something to do. You know, so that's good as well. Okay, rest homes. Years ago, after a tough time in our family, we have a fourth daughter who passed away. I was listening to Marilee Boyack, is that her name? She's a speaker. She's come to LDSHE before at Education Week. And she talked about find something that your family is. You know, and the Boyacks were like service doers or something. But create something that is your family. I don't even remember what she called it. Family motto? Not really. What?
I said motto.
Yeah, motto, something like that. But what is your family? Does anyone remember a talk like that she's done? Yeah. Yes, yes, like a family mantra, identity. Anyways, right then in her class, it was as if I needed something to refocus on and remember the sweet girls that I was blessed with at that time, and I needed to. She gave me that gift in her talk, and when she said that, it came to my mind, our family needs to sing, and sing more. We had already been doing a lot of singing with all these other things, but we needed to do a different audience. And so rest homes became our audience. And it came to me in her class, and it wasn't a, let's just go and sing some songs. No, we're gonna put on a show when we go to this rest home. It's the real deal. We have an agenda, we have a narrator, you know, the MC, or I don't know. But we've had the girls, you know, a whole program. And it's a big deal. And it gave me, as little as it is in the grand spectrum of life, it gave me something to focus on. I'm going to make a show to people that will love us. And so rest homes is a great place to do that. And we do Christmas shows, Easter shows, and 4th of July shows. And it's great, this one place we go to in Virginia where we moved from, it's an Alzheimer's unit, so we're new. We're new every time, and it's fantastic. So we just, and every time, please come back, we will, but we're new the next time. And so it's great, but we've had a lot of fun with that. Yes?
It's a great place to go if you don't think you're very good.
Exactly. It's wonderful to start there because they just eat it up and love it, and then you need to teach your kids how to be a good performer in those circumstances, where to stand when you're not performing, when your sibling is, how to greet the people, you know, the great people skills with the rest homes, because you get to shake their hands, thank you for coming, thank you. They were so little doing that with these older folks, and now it comes very naturally to them when we go do this, but they had to be taught, and that's a great place to teach it in the rest homes. All right, so those are performance ideas. If you do all this work to get a good song learned, what's the point of it if you don't perform it? So you have to have some type of conclusion. Your kids have to, we are going to sing this when the home teachers come. Even if that's the final performance, you know, just we are going to sing this when grandma comes to visit. This is going to be our song. Or we're going to play this, you're going to play the trumpet, and we'll sing. at the same time, you know, whatever your family dynamic is, but have a performance deadline or a time that you're going to do that. It gives more meaning to it. Okay, so when to fit this in? You only need to practice on days that you eat. Okay. I saw that and I was cracking up because not any of us possibly practice that often, but boy, when we put intention on our practice and we do it like that, even if it's for a 2-week time, we're always amazed. Wow, we sure did so much. We're getting so much better. And then you know, fall a little bit. Then you have to get back onto it again. But those longer times of really being consistent move the progress so forward. So what we do in our house is for lessons of instruments and of a longer singing time lesson is Monday morning. That's what we do. We've done it for, so pick a day for lessons. I know that's hard when you're having different musical instruments if you have teachers other places. This is sort of what's worked for us. Monday morning is their piano lesson and a longer singing time lesson. And when we were focused a lot more on their other instruments, that's when their lessons were too. Does that make sense? Try to clump it into one if you can. It's not always possible. Now what we actually do singing time is, so right after, the morning stuff, all the morning stuff, when all that's done or not done and we're all in our jammies, I don't know, but when we call it done in the morning, a breakfast, scripture, getting ready, you know, all that stuff, then it's singing time. There we go. Because I was told by the Lord that that was number one, so we have to do it first. So we do singing time then, and we start with a hymn, and the hymn that we're really working on, and then we go to the songs that we're learning for either the holiday that's coming up or the songs that we're just working on. And now it's turned into about 15 minutes as our warm-up, because now we've learned how important it is to warm up by that one method I was telling you about. So a big part is our warm-up, then it's our work. And when we do 30 minutes consistently every day, it's powerful. And it's only 30 minutes every day. When we go 45 minutes, an hour, 2 hours sometimes, we love it and we enjoy it and we're having so much fun, then it's not always as beneficial. So consistent, shorter amount of times is a lot better. Does that make sense? Then after that, then they usually practice their other instruments. Okay, in the car, a lot of people say to us, when do you all fit this in? When are you able to learn how to sing all together? And a lot of it is in the car. Yeah, our radio doesn't work in our car, which we don't use anyways. Our CD player doesn't even work in our car, so that's great. And I know I can hook up my phone, but we have an older car, so you've got to do a lot of like wires and things, you know. So we sing. So we do a lot of singing, and we pick a song, just like pick a song. We have a few hymn books in the car so that everybody has the words and the notes and the phones for the other parts. But pick a song, car practice, on the way to church. Some of you probably have a long way to church. That's always a good time. Then in the opening number, you always feel really confident because you've been singing the whole morning. Sunday evenings is a great time to practice also. Okay, so now I need to move on a little quicker. Number 6, learning from the greats. The aim and final end of all music should be none other than the glory of God and the refreshment of the soul, by Bach. I love this quote. I know you've all have already heard this before, but I love that most of all Bach's songs, once he turned over to glorifying God in his music and none other than that, how much his musical abilities just skyrocketed, and those are the songs that we know. And it's once he turned over to glorifying God. So Monday, because we've already done a lot of music stuff in the morning, Monday after lunch, that's our reading time. We always learn about a musician. So we learn about a musician, and then we listen to their music for the next few weeks. So we get really good at listening to Bach, for example. Then we get really good at listening to Chopin. And then we get really good listening to Sherbert, you know, and we listen to them. And then on a Monday, a few weeks later, we all decide which of those songs on that CD are our favorite. And then those favorite classics we'll put onto our phone. And so that we have, because you don't like all of them always, you know, so you find your favorites of the classics and then listen to those. And I have on here Meet the Masters CDs. Those are the CDs that I've bought in, and they sort of tell a little bit about the classic artist, and then we listen to their music. Okay, this next part, read stories about the hymn. You can find those anywhere online. There's books that have the stories about the hymns. But you see where it says History of the Hymns, the evolution of LDS hymns. Search that, and tons of podcasts of the stories of the hymns. It's so beautiful. We listen to it in the car, and they'll tell the story of the hymn and or the story of the LDS writer, and then it will give different examples of that hymn being played by different musicians. So beautiful. We listen to it in the car often. So that's another good one. The relationship with music and musicians. So moving on to 7, show me your friends and I will show you your future. I believe friends are whatever we have a relationship with. Our friends are our music. Our friends are the books we read, the literature that we are reading, the conversations that we have with people. It's all part of our relationships and our friends. Now, the music that us and our children are listening to, is that who we want to be their friends? You know, we need to think of that very clearly as, with whom do you want you and your children to have a relationship with? And we've gone through a lot of our music and asked, is this person that I want to have a relationship with? You know, is this someone who's bringing me light? Then it sort of clears up a lot of things when you ask those questions. And so going down to this next one, I'm going to have to skip some of this stuff. Organized songs on the phone. A family which sings together, plays together, prays together, usually stays together. This is also in her book. And I know you've heard that in other ways too, but it's similar to that mantra. What does your family do together? You know, and if you want it to be music, I'm so excited for you because it is a relationship that is deep and very connecting. And then this last part is take time to be holy. Oh, organize on your phone. Sorry, let me do this. We organize things with uplifting music, fun uplifting music, classic favorites, and Sunday music. So we split things up like that because anytime you have the word uplifting music in front of it, it also rules out the music that's not uplifting, you know? So a few interesting Blackwell stuff I want to say. If you have anything in your home that needs to be cleared out because it's negative energy or anything, we play the Tabernacle Choir quietly all night long in our home. I can't remember who said it. Michael Ballum said that his son was getting ready to go on a mission and they felt like they were under attack by the adversary. And so they started playing Tabernacle Choir music, the hymns, quietly on a CD player. We've done this for years, and especially with us moving a lot of places, it just sort of clears out anything that's negative. And so if you're feeling, and my husband travels a lot, I don't know, it's nice to know if I wake up to go to the bathroom downstairs or something, you know, that's going on in the background. So that's a little interesting tidbit. Another interesting thing with music is after family prayer, we have a family song that we do. Another interesting Blackwell family thing is in the morning, we save it for spiritual enlightening music, meaning all things that pertain to God. So in the morning, if you're waking up to go to seminary or work out, have it be music that is praise to God only, because it's the morning. You know, it needs to be a prayer to the morning. I've had a lot of conversations with my girls because they like to work out in the morning. It's got to be a place where God can give you revelation. So it has to be music that can be a praise to Him. Throughout the rest of the day, you can bring in some of the folk stuff and the other things and stuff like that. But morning, praise to God. So So I want to end now with this because we're going to sing a song for you. This is a beautiful song, and it's William Longstaff, Take Time to Be Holy. And he was inspired by some preaching that was done, and he was an Englishman, business, wealthy ship owner, and he wrote this as a poem. And he heard the words from teaching that said, take time and be holy. And he contemplated this holiness for a very long time. And he eventually came up with take time to be holy. And he wrote this whole poem out. And then it was given and passed around and then put to a tune. And then a few years ago, a woman in the LDS church combined this song with an old Irish melody. Be Thou My Vision, you know, that old Irish melody. She combined these words to this poem, to this, and the Tabernacle Choir sang it a little bit ago. And we've made an arrangement to it, so we're going to give that to you. But I first will want to close and say I'm grateful for this opportunity to speak about something that's so dear to my heart. And thank you for showing up to my class for my first time ever. So thank you. And I say this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Latter-day Saint Home Educators is a nonprofit, all-volunteer organization dedicated to providing inspiration to homeschool families. We hope you enjoyed this recording. If you are interested in listening to more recordings or would like to participate in a future conference, please visit our website at ldshe.org.